Let me get my thing out of here.
There is a couple agenda changes, Dave.
Yes, the first, I'd like to recommend that we delete under old business conditional use number 1758 and number 1759 for a later meeting. And then under executive session, delete the collective bargaining item. And then under myself, land acquisition to delete.
Mr. President, I make a motion we approve the agenda for Sussex County Council for April 8th, 2008, with the deletion of two old business and the land acquisition and the collective bargaining under executive session.
Second.
Moved and seconded, we accept the agenda as amended. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Excuse me. You have a copy of the minutes from March the 11th in printed form. Any corrections or additions?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as in printed form for March the 11th for Sussex County Council.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we approve the minutes as printed. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Okay?
I don't have any correspondence.
That's cool. That's a good thing. You want to slam down on that one, Mr. Rogers? Okay, thank you. Dave, you're up.
Administrator's report.
Yeah, I'll get it. You want it on?
First item is South Coastal Library groundbreaking event. As per the attached press release, a groundbreaking ceremony will be held at the old South Coastal Library on Kent Avenue in Bethany Beach at 1 p.m. on Friday, April 11th. As noted, the expansion of the library will double the current 10,000 square foot building. The Honorable Senator Thomas Carper will be joining us at the ceremony.
I don't want to hear me speak.
Citizens Corps program, paramedic Carl Davis, Sussex County Citizens Corps coordinator, will lead a training session on Saturday, April 12th from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. for Sussex County citizens who would like to participate in training for the Community Emergency Response Team in Sussex. The program will be held at the Sussex County West Complex in Georgetown. For further information, please contact Mr. Carl Davis, and the information is on the release. And Delaware State Police report, attached is a report from the Delaware State Police for February. The police responded to 3,501 complaints in Sussex County. They also responded to 3,091 traffic arrests and 1,196 criminal arrests. And the last item, Sussex County Emergency Communications Specialist Petition Request. As per the attached notice from the State of Delaware Public Employees Relations Board, PERB, the Communication Workers of America Local 13101, on April 4th, requested to withdraw its petition to be certified as the exclusive bargaining representative for Sussex County Emergency Communications Specialist 1 and 2. Also, as noted in the attached notice from PERB, an election will not be held. So we were pleased to
I think we need to get Joe to thank all the personnel out there that are working this thing out with you and the attorneys and everything. I think it was a plus for everybody, so you need to thank some people out there. Thank you.
Anything else, Dave?
No.
That's all right. Back.
Where'd that come from?
Al?
Mr. President, members of council, this evening we have one request for a disbursement from your annual municipal police aid grant. The town of Frankfort would like to draw $5,788.18 against their $25,000 allotment. Currently, they have purchased uniform patches, guns, some vehicle outfitting, jackets, and ammo. That comes to $5,401.91, and then they're applying $386.27 to operations, bringing a total of $5,788.88.
Question? Motion?
Motion would be it moved the Sussex County Council approve a disbursement to the town of Frankfort in the amount of $5,788.18 for their annual police grant.
Motion, Joe.
So moved.
Second.
Moved to second, and we approve the allotment as stated by Hal. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Gentlemen, we have one wastewater agreement for your consideration this evening. The developer in this case is Mr. Joe Reed of Lewis, Delaware. The location is Camp Arrow Road, just south of Angola Beach Road. This project will be part of the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Install 5,400 feet of force main and one pump station. There are no connection charges. We have approvals from our engineering department as well as Denrec. We're expecting 30 construction days with a $66,675 construction administration and construction inspection costs. We expect the total project to cost $444,500. The motion for this proposal is, be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 882, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Herring Point Development Incorporated for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Herring Point pumping station and force main located in the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second.
And moved to second that we approve agreement number 882 as stated. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hal. Good evening, Joe, one more time.
Good evening. Mr. Baker asked me to come and give you an update on the Emergency Operations Center. Just a little over 2 years ago, we broke ground for the new Emergency Operations Center out in front of the airport. Last Tuesday evening, April Fool's Day, we decided that that was the date we were going to set to cut over into the new EOC. We had well over 40 people on site from various agencies, including State Division of Communications, State Police, Verizon, Motorola, and Positron, our 911 system provider. The project team, which consisted of Steve Hudson, Mike Izzo, Bob Jones, Chip Larson, and, or excuse me, Eddie Sparpaglione, and myself, oversaw the transition into the new center. Mr. Jones, I know you came out that morning. Mr. Rogers was out that evening. Mr. Baker and Mr. Godwin spent most of the night with me. The transition actually went rather smoothly. We did have one little glitch in the middle of the evening. Fortunately for us, things went as according to plan. And we took the last call at the old Emergency Operations Center at 5:27 that morning, Wednesday. At 5:57 that morning, the new Emergency Operations Center was totally cut over and online. We had two separate shifts working, one at the old facility, one at the new facility, as well as the State Police Communications. And we also had our amateur radio group, RACES, Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service Unit, up and operational. And what they did was is they provided us a backup should any problems occur, but more importantly, they tested their equipment, and they made over 120 contacts with amateur radio, other ham operators, I was told, overseas as well as across the country. So it was a successful operation for them as well. And with that, I will stop talking and answer any questions.
This was the first Verizon?
The Positron 911 Viper system is the first Viper system that Verizon has put in its territory in the United States. There's roughly 2,000 of these workstations in the country, and we have 17 of them in Sussex County. So we're pretty proud of that. Verizon is going to show this off. We've already been told they're going to be showing this one off for some time to come.
Good. I'll be proud of
it. Well, it's impressive, Joe.
What was construction days, months? How long from you started?
We broke ground March 3rd, 2006, and we moved in April 1st, April 2nd, 2008. So roughly about 25 months.
Just a couple desks and a few wires should not mean ground. Right, Mike? That's it.
I didn't see Mike sneaking behind me.
Mike was there.
Tuesday night, too.
Yeah, I should mention, you know, one thing, important decision that we made early in the summer was, we had been using a consultant for the design of the building, and we felt like that consultant, as we went through the project, that their expertise left a little bit to be desired. We made a decision to oversee the cutover in-house, just with in-house people. Steve Hudson,
Project Team,
Joe, and Chip, and Eddie Sparpaglione, I mean, the wall as well. I mean, it was a lot of responsibility, and it's a lot of time and energy, and I think it really paid off for us to do it with our in-house staff versus subbing it out to a consultant and paying high fees. I think we actually got a better product as a result.
I agree with you. Yeah, I wasn't impressed with him either, Mike. So, that's cool. Thanks, Joe.
They were low bid, right?
No.
Well, you do that professional consultants.
Huh?
No.
They were the best in the country, but the main guy left, didn't he?
Well, what happened, it's the old bait and switch. You interview them, and they have impressive people, but when it comes to actually working on the project,
well, the actual firm left.
Did you save money by easing them on out early, or did we end up having to, we did save a little bit of...
We did all the management inspection.
Paid them up front.
Yeah, well, we did time and material on the design, so the design was done. We got, and then we actually never exceeded our contract amount there. Mm-hmm. But then under the construction admin, I believe we didn't go over construction admin either. So they were looking for, they put together, I think it was like a somewhere in the $200,000 range to oversee the cutover. Forget constructing the building, but then oversee the technology changeover. And we did that
and
all
in-house.
Yeah.
And as well as bidding out the furniture.
Just a side note, the building was paid in full with realty transfer tax under the philosophy, pay as you grow. So that even makes it feel that much better.
Yeah, since
good
we don't have much
realty
tax.
Transfer tax.
Realty tax anymore.
Good evening, Mike.
Good evening. I have two items on my agenda. The first is in regard to the woods on Herring Creek, the interim wastewater service proposal. You may recall we actually passed a referendum for the woods on Herring Creek last August. We then took over the operations and maintenance of the collection system, the transmission system, and the wastewater treatment plant. Legally, we took it over January 1st, but in reality, we were in there in mid-November going in and upgrading the pump stations and working on the dosing beds. You know, everyone's familiar that the disposal system is failing or breakouts on the surface. Since that time in November, actually January 1, we started hauling wastewater for a while. We were hauling it 7 days a week, twice a day. Heather Sheridan and her staff have tweaked the system enough that it's now operating. We don't haul nearly as much. We're down to one time a day, 6 days a week. And with that, even doing it that way, we're not seeing any breakouts on the surface. So that's a good thing. What we also did, we were looking at the bid out the wastewater treatment and disposal on a short-term basis until the Angola Source system is up and running. To that end, we put a bid package on the street. We opened up bids, and we set it up that there were two bid alternatives. And looking back, if I had that to do over again, I don't think I would set it up that way. Basically, we had two bids that were received. The first one, West Bay Park Facility, and this would be a bid where we would take over the operations and maintenance of their existing wastewater treatment facility. Their bid was, and we did this on a monthly basis, and the bid amount you see is a total for 21 months. They bid $126,000. However, to connect to that wastewater treatment plant, there's other costs associated to connect to the wastewater treatment plant. Namely, we had a force main cost of $68,000. We had to do some upgrades to the pumping system. That was valued at $3,500. And then because of the force main alignment was in undisturbed area, we have grant money associated with the whole Angola project. We had to do some archaeological costs that would be incurred. This is not work we perform, but would have to perform if we connected to West Bay Park. And then we looked at the operations and maintenance of the actual treatment plant. And if we operated and maintained it for 21 months, we were looking at a total cost of $111,000. So if you add their bid to all these costs that we would incur, the total cost amount was $196,100. Now, the only problem with this is after we got their bid, we went to DENREC and said, okay, DENREC, they have an existing plant. We're going to bring the flow to the plant. DENREC stated to us in a letter that they would not certify that there was sufficient capacity in the plant to handle the existing West Bay Park flows plus the addition of the woods on Herring Creek. So right then, we had to toss out the West Bay Park bid. The second bid was from Artesian, and they were operating a plant in a project known as the Villages of Herring Creek. There's probably 20 homes there right now, but the flow's so low that they don't have enough flow to run the plant. The plant never has actually been started up and run, okay? But they bid $1 a month, very low bid. However, of all the three alternatives, it was the furthest away. So we would have to run the force main the farthest, and that cost was $107,000. Again, we had some SCADA upgrades to do to the pumping stations, $8,000. Again, we would have some archaeological work that have to be done, and that was valued at $23,000. And the operations and maintenance cost of this plant for 21 months was valued at $100,000. All that added up to $238,954. Now, one problem with this plant, again, is it hadn't been started up. The spray rigs had never sprayed, so there was no crop in the field, and there was no contract with the farmer. We would have to do all that work ourselves. And then finally, if you look at the actual cost for the users, it was not a cost that they could actually afford. But as much as anything, it was the concept of having to start up a plant. Maybe things go well, maybe they don't. And trying to plant a crop and find a farmer was just too problematic for us. The final bid was received from Tidewater Utilities, and Bruce Patrick is still here. Bruce represents Tidewater. They actually bid basically the whole package that they would perform the treatment and disposal, no actual cost to the county. The bid was $10,700 per month, and that totaled for the 21-month contract period of $225,099. In this case, the project is actually very close. It's the closest project. So the force main cost, I'm estimating conservatively, of about $20,000. We would have to do some SCADA upgrades to the pump station, $10,000. Minimal archaeology work, $1,200. And since they're doing all the O&M costs, that's a zero. And that comes out to $256,299. Unfortunately, this cost, again, is there's only 150 homes in the woods on Herring Creek. And this cost would increase fees that the current residents are paying significantly. In my opinion, it's not really cost effective. The good thing is that during this process, we've had some conversation with Tidewater, and they now have made some arrangements that they feel that they could lower their bid. I talked to the assistant county attorney, and I said, could we process a change order and just bring this in, you know, award the bid at the current amount, but then process a change order for a lower amount and just award it that way. The problem, he stated, is that we weren't changing the scope of work. In other words, we have done similar things like with the Deltec hangar. But in those cases, you know, we eliminated electrical work or we somehow changed the scope of work that there was a dollar amount that would have been accredited by any of the bidders. But in this case, the scope of work was going to stay the same, and we're not really in a position where we could renegotiate a price. So what we're going to recommend is that we reject the bids, but basically the bid package can pretty much stay the same. I did pretty much the same thing last fall with the library. basically dot some I's and cross some T's and put the bid package back on, out on the street. And I hope Tidewater is as good as their word. And if they are, then we'll come in with a bid that can be implemented rather quickly and is also is affordable to the residents.
Mike, one question.
Yes.
On West Bay Park, not that it makes any difference, but I've just my own said it. How do you get 196 if you had 126,000, 111, and 68,000?
Okay. You're right. I'm looking at the numbers, and it doesn't look like they add up correctly, does it?
No, it's way over. I mean, that's close.
I think it's 196, not counting the top bid.
Voodoo economics.
196 yeah. plus 126,000.
Yeah, looks
it
like there's a
difference.
Number.
I looked at that and compared to the other two. I couldn't figure it out.
I think what happened was when we got the letter from Denrec, we kind of crossed them off the list and then just compiling the numbers. That was right. Just an error on my part. I apologize.
The RFP this time, are you going to simplify and just...
Just operations and maintenance.
From you're going to say from this point, this is our connection point, give us a price.
Give us a price. Absolutely.
Any other questions, gentlemen? Do you have a motion for
Yes, I do. I just have to
find the right pile, right?
Have to find the right pile. There it is. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that all bids submitted for Sussex County Project Number 07-06, Temporary Wastewater Treatment and Disposal, be rejected and that the project be rebid immediately.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved.
Moved and second that we accept the rejection from the engineering office. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Duke.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.